We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in this text to us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 8, verses 9 through 13, Simon baptized. There is a great deal of comfort here in these verses for God's elect children. But it doesn't come where we would expect to find it. In fact, it is just the opposite. The comfort comes precisely where we would not expect to find it. So we're going to read the first five verses, make a few comments, and then go back and look at the verses more closely. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Long story short, these verses center around a man named Simon. Not Simon Peter, by the way. Simon was a child of the devil and practiced sorcery. He had a huge following. When Philip came into town preaching about Jesus, many of Simon's followers believed and deserted over to Philip. As it turned out, Simon also ended up believing and ended up joining with Philip. I entitled the sermon, Simon Baptized. Many of the people who believed what Philip was preaching about Jesus were baptized, so Simon was baptized also. And he followed Philip. What's not to like? Well, there is a saying, it's not from Scripture, but it has a ring of truth in it. And the saying is this: just because a mouse is in the cookie jar doesn't make him a cookie. We also know from Scripture that Satan strikes quickly and he infiltrates. So when we find Simon believing and joining up with Philip, the red light starts blinking. So where is the comfort of God's elect here? Well, let's take a closer look at the verses. But there was a certain man. So the question, just who is this certain man? The Holy Spirit quite often uses this terminology, a certain man or a certain thing. But what does he mean by it? An example would be from Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And you know the context. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. A certain man. So who is that certain man? Well, one answer would be Adam. Adam was the one. Adam was wounded by the devil, and the devil departed, leaving him half dead. But another answer as to who is the certain man would be you and me. We were in Adam's loins when Adam did this. So here the certain man is a type of the false prophets controlled by Satan. And he's called Simon. Again, not Simon Peter. This is another Simon. So what did this certain man do? Which beforehand, in the same city, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So Simon is in cahoots with the devil. This certain man is a type of Satan's wicked ones, among them especially the false prophets. So what do we know about Simon? Number one, he used sorcery. We'll get into that a little later. Number two, Simon made himself out to be a great one. He was a shepherd who had no love for the sheep. He was interested in promoting himself. And he's called a hireling, really. John chapter 10, verse 11 and following comes to mind the words of the Son of God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he isn't hireling. He's doing it for the money. He's the hireling and careth not for the sheep. Contrast, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. So, number three, Simon had a great following. They all gave heed from the least to the greater. Even the teenagers were buying into him. These people had itching ears, and Simon told them what they wanted to hear, and he could back it up with signs and wonders. Number four, Simon was called the Great Power of God, capital G. Number five, Simon was old and experienced. Of a long time he had bewitched them. He knew the tricks of the trade. He was the best at it. And again, number six, Simon used sorceries. There's a shocking truth here. Satan and his followers have the power to do miracles, signs, and wonders. And while some of this might be fake, not all of it is. Matthew 24, verse 24 says this, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. that's scary. And notice, it's not talking about physical persecution here. It's talking about signs and wonders. Mark 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect." So Simon used sorcery. And there is an Old Testament parallel to this. It's found in Exodus chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. You will recognize the context. "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers," there's the word, sorcerers. "Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents." So, this is a fearful thing. The devil can perform signs and wonders. And his wicked ones can also perform signs and wonders. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Back in Exodus chapter 7 again, verse 12, "For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." That's an interesting little detail, isn't it? "And God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he hardened not unto them, hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go." The comforting truth here, and it's amazing, is that Satan tries to imitate God, but his imitations always fall short. That is precious. It's precious for us to know that. Satan tries to imitate God. We see this over and over and over again, but his imitations always fall short. They don't match up. So yeah, he can perform signs and wonders, but they're not like the signs and wonders that God's people can and that the Son of God can. That's the point. Revelation chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and he that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." So the devil is walking to and fro throughout this world, seeking whom he may devour, and he is upset. And he has great wrath because he's been kicked out of heaven. And now he's on the earth. And he knows that he has only a short time left. Okay, continuing. "When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." A woman there would be Mary. But it would be more than Mary. It would be the bride of Christ. Every one of the very small elect, the very small remnant chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. So the devil now is persecuting her. Satan not only hates Jesus Christ, but he hates the bride of Christ, the elect. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So yes, we're living in a great and terrible wilderness. But we have a place in the wilderness where we're nourished by the Lord God. That's precious. Continuing. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. He's trying to imitate God again. The devil knows about that great flood in the days of Noah. And he's imitating it. So the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. But the imitation wasn't as good as the original. It didn't measure up. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So it didn't work. The imitation didn't measure up to the original. That's precious. And the dragon was wroth. Well, he's really upset. He was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. There's that very small remnant again, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the point here is that, yes, Satan and his wicked ones do have the power to work signs and wonders and miracles. They've been given that power by God. But the power is limited. It's limited. And every time the devil tries to imitate God, the imitation falls far short. This is comforting beyond words. Even in Exodus, it was shown in Exodus chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now here's the kicker. The magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. They could not. They couldn't make even one little louse. But for as far as God's lice, so there were lice upon man and beast throughout the whole land of Egypt. So here's where the great comfort comes. And remember, there's a certain man here called Simon is a representative person. He represents the very best that Satan has to offer. The very best weapons that the devil has to fire at the children of God. And the truth is that the devil always tries to imitate God, but his imitations always fall short of the original. Simon was the best Satan had to offer. But he realized, here's the comfort. Simon realized that the miracles and signs Philip was doing far exceeded his own. The devil's imitations always fall very, very short. We're going to have more, God willing, if Christ doesn't come back and it's his will, following Simon next time. But notice there in this here, the people believed the preaching. This is the word. And they were baptized. Simon was concerned about the miracles and the signs that were done. So yeah, he was baptized, became a member of the group, and he continued with Philip. Simon admitted that the miracles and signs of God were better and more powerful than what he had been given by the devil. But remember this. Just because the mouse is in the cookie jar doesn't make him a cookie. And just because Simon admits that the miracles of God were better than what he could do, and he even follows with Philip, it doesn't make him a cookie. One little interesting thought here before we sign off. What we have here in this text is an instance of what people call believers' baptism. First they came to faith and then they believed. Those that preach believers' baptism almost always deny that infants should be baptized. And the key reason is because children are too young to believe. They're not old enough. They have to be older in order to believe, which is as unscriptural as you can get. Because the fact of the matter is, it's true that children can't believe, but adults can't believe either. We were all conceived and born in sin. And there's none good in any of us. So the adults are no different than the children when it comes to baptism. And anybody that believes that you can, as an adult, can more easily believe in Jesus than a little baby can, you don't know Scripture. You don't know Scripture. And as far as how it's done, there's no example in Scripture, not one, of anybody being immersed in the water. That's a man. So, it's all a miracle of the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, if you baptize a baby, you can't tell if the child's a believer or not. Well, that's true. But it's also true that Jesus commands parents to bring their little ones to him. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked the ones that brought them. But Jesus rebuked the disciples and said, allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And he took them in his arms and blessed them. That's true also. And it's also true that he tells them that we're supposed to baptize our children, but then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's part of baptism also. And there are precious, precious promises to the godly parents who do this. And as far as adult baptism, the main thought there is, well, you know, we can't tell if little babies are, when they're baptized, if they believe or not, but we sure can tell if an adult believes. They can confess their faith. But adults can fake it. They can fake it. Simon believed. But what kind of a faith was it? Was it a faith in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit? No. It was a faith in the miracles and the signs and wonders. And you have an exact parallel to this in the final verses of John chapter 2. Many believed in Jesus when they saw the miracles that he did. That's called a miracle faith. A miracle faith never saved anyone. It's not a true faith like the Holy Spirit gives. It's a faith in signs and wonders, and that wears out. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew what was in the man.